Hello again, this is Cyril Stevens from Christmas Valley in the United States, in the beautiful state of Oregon. And I say beautiful today because the sun is blazing hot and beautiful. And oh, it's so gorgeous out here. But anyway, I'm greeting you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm calling you, if you love the Lord Jesus, I'm calling you a saint of Jesus. Now, all ye saints, come together and understand some things. I would like to take you into the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, where the apostles have got together and they're talking about how it is that there are those that knew the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. Paul, who was called just after the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead, he had persecuted the church, sending people into the arenas and being absolutely violent against the church. Paul was there. Then there were others there, and it's fascinating to see how their discussion goes. Now, there isn't time for me in this program to spend a lot of time with introduction because I want to finish off some thinking about the word faith. And I want to encourage you to have faith. I'm going to break off just for a moment and say this to you. You can search from Genesis through Revelation and you will not find that anybody tells you to pray for faith. And there's a reason for that. Faith is what we exhibit towards God. We are told to ask all sorts of things, but not faith. We are responsible for our faith. Now, I'm not referring to a generalized expression of faith. Have I come to faith? That's a very generalized expression. And I can't understand why people use it sometimes, but I know it's in common uses today. I want to say to you, and not in a critical way, I just want to say to you that faith comes from you. Now, it works this way. Do you believe in God? Then do you believe God? Jesus said, you believe in God, believe also in me. You have faith in God because of the history of the Jewish nation. How it was, for instance, that they came out of Egypt and into Israel eventually after 40 years in the wilderness and so on, and how they became a people that formulated their faith into a load of rules and regulations that were totally meaningless and had nothing to do with God. God gave us 10 commandments, and the Levites turned that into 620 rules and regulations. And that was faith? Oh, no, 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 no. Faith is believing God. Jesus said, if you believe in God, and you say you do, to the Jewish people this is, believe also in me, for I am God incarnate. I am God on this earth. And so he encouraged people to believe in him. That's why I keep on saying to people, please understand that God would have us to know that his Son is the meeting place for all Christians. Without Jesus, we have no faith. One time there was a fellow in my study and he was telling me how God had done this for him and that for him and so on. And I said, well, what about the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, oh, I don't know this Lord Jesus Christ that you talk about. And this was a minister of the gospel, I was told. And I said to him something like this, then you have no ministry at this time. Because if you're not Christocentric, Christ-centered, you have nothing to talk about. You can talk about religion. You can talk of the rules and regulations of your religion. But you're the same as anybody else that has a faith. But this is, do I have faith? Paul said to the people, I want you to understand something. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What's he saying? It's not God's faith in us, it's our faith in God. Now, if you do not have faith in God, and you cannot have faith in God, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you do not have faith in God, because God said, this is my only begotten Son, hear ye him. And Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will rest you. I'll give you this rest. I'll look after you. I'll love you. I'll keep you, the Apostle Paul said. to the Philippian church. He said, you and I, we have this great privilege. We can ask anything in his name, and God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And then John tells us in his first epistle, you know, you have not, or ye have not, he says in the old version, because ye ask not. So Christians walking around saying, oh my, look at this and look at that. We're failing here and failing there. Of course we fail. But come on, do you have faith in Jesus? Now let's look at the Lord Jesus, in whom we are to have faith in. He conquered death. He conquered death. It's a wonderful thing when you and I come to that place where we will be laying our body to rest for eternity. Our spirits will depart this body, and we can with great comfort say, how precious is Jesus, my Saviour, who said, I am the resurrection and the life, and he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me, listen, will never die. Do you believe that? Jesus said to the disciples, believest thou this? That's a massive statement. When Jesus came back from the dead, he said, all power, all authority, all the legal rights, all power, all the dynamic of the Christian faith is in me. All power is given unto me in the heavens and the earth. All power. You want to know power in your life? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You want to see power at work? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Never mind criticizing Christians that don't see things from your point of view and from the angle that you're looking at Christianity. That is really superfluous. I would say to you, dump such thinking and come to a place where you can say, not criticizing another, but you can say with the Apostle Paul, and let's look at Acts 15, and you can say in verse 8, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. I have been instrumental in leading several people to the Lord over the years, and some have become Episcopalian, some Baptist, some Presbyterian, some Bapticostal, no such thing I know, some Christian Brethren, and so it goes on. I was first, when I started this soul-winning thing in my life, I found myself disappointed why they didn't all come to my church, the church that I went to, and my church would bless them. And I realized it wasn't my church, and I had no authority in that department. But they should go where they are comfortable. But Jesus must never lose the focal point of our lives. So it doesn't matter. There's an old saying, you know, whatever label we have, it will either fall off as we go up or burn off as we go down. So make sure your label is in the Word of God. And here is the Word of God. Believe also in Jesus and make sure that Jesus is center. Well, now, if I have faith in this Lord Jesus Christ, I can discover that there is no difference between the Greek or the Gentile. There's no difference between the Jew or the Greek. There is no difference between those that are of one race or another race, one color or a different color. There is no difference. Because God it is, through the Holy Spirit, through our Lord Jesus Christ, and his dying and his resurrection, through that power that Jesus had, that power. Ah, what power. And it always is in my heart and mind. Jesus said to the disciples one day, this is from John 10, he said, you know, nobody's going to take my life from me. Now, in the last little while, the last few years, I've heard preachers and others write and say that Jesus was murdered upon the cross. Jesus died of a broken heart. That's foolish talk. Because Jesus said, no man taketh this life from me. I lay it down of myself. And it is my will to do this, because my will is the Father's will, and we are doing this together. I am going to take up my life again. Well, the wonderful thing is that our Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And I can imagine being amongst the disciples who were so dispirited having seen Jesus die. And the one or two of them that remembered that he cried with a very loud, triumphant voice, is the word, a voice that was triumphant when he said, "It is finished." What was finished on the cross? What was finished? The pardon of all mankind? Nope. The salvation that was purchased by his blood, by his suffering. It is by his stripes we are healed. It is by his suffering. He suffered vicariously on our behalf. He died. He died because he said, "It is finished. I have finished the time on this earth." He said, "It is finished. I have finished my time on earth. I am done with this body. It is at the disposal of God. And I lay down my life that I may take it up again." Now, the next 3 days, we don't really know exactly what the time schedule was, but somewhere in those 3 days, Jesus, I believe, descended into hell. And I believe the Bible spells it out to us. Hell could not stop him triumphing through the meadows of hell. Couldn't be stopped. Such was the power of Jesus. And on the third day, he shook off hell and he rose from the dead. I love the words of the old hymn writer that said, he arose a mighty triumph for his foes. He arose the victor of the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. Hallelujah! Christ arose. That's power. Let's look at all the prophets and all the so-called gurus of our day. Let's look at all the people that have claimed some sort of deity and show me one that has come back from the dead. And I will show you Jesus, who did come back from the dead and did spend time with his disciples and did eventually ascend up into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father in glory. And the purpose of that was to ever make intercession for us. Do you have faith in that? Can you believe what I've just said to you? Hey, saint, you who call yourself Christian, do you believe that? You may, but if you don't kid yourself. You have no Christianity that's of any consequence as far as God is concerned, for without the faith in that statement that I've made, and it's a broad one, and it's a massive one, and it's an incisive one, and it will dig at your heart. If you can't believe those basic facts, I'm afraid you're facing a lost eternity. Now, if we have faith in this justification, let's go to Romans 5 and verse 1. We see there that we are justified by faith. So we stand in front of God, and we can stand there very coolly and very carefully, very confidently, that's a good word, in the presence of the Almighty God, the Creator of the ends of the earth, the God of Abraham and Jacob and Isaac, this wonderful God. We can stand in front of him with massive, massive confidence, colossal confidence, because we are justified by faith. There's a second thing I would like to say to you. We are to live by faith. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we discover, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I have this faith that is given to me by the Son of God, and I live by that faith. I have faith My life is lived by faith in Jesus. And it's terribly important that you and I understand how to stand by faith. I have to ask you, is this true of you? If it is, turn with me quickly to the second letter to the church at Corinth, 2 Corinthians. I would ask you to look at chapter 1 and verse 24, where it tells me, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, for by faith ye stand. One of the most difficult things is to live the Christian life. The normal Christian life is one of peace. It's one of victory. You don't have to fall into sin. You don't have to sin. Sure, sin will come in front of you. Sin will rear its head. Sin will make its demands upon you. But you don't have to give in to sin, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Satan is the tempter, and Jesus is the one that gives you the courage and the presence and the strength to withstand sin. It's very important that we learn to withstand sin, stand by faith. Sometimes somebody will say something and you think, well, that's not right. There's something wrong with what they've said. So stand. What I often do is go and check out if they said what is in the scripture. If so, I must quietly before the Lord at least say I was wrong in criticizing that person or wrong in thinking that they were not correct. But Lord, if I find that I can't find it in scripture, then I need to go to that person and say, you know, I can't find this in scripture, so can you help me? Don't sit back and say to a friend or somebody else, oh, well, I don't believe that. He's making a great statement, but I don't go along with this. Don't do that sort of thing, because that's criticizing the word of God. But understand that we live by faith, we stand by faith. And here is something else. Turn the page into the fifth chapter of 2 Corinthians. You got it? Then look down for verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And I challenge you, especially those of you who are in a profession where you're looking at getting a great big chunk of money to retire upon. My dear friend, I'm not saying that's wrong. What I'm saying is, it's hard to walk by faith when you're walking by sight. It was a man, his name was Jonathan Goforth, and he went out from this country in the 1800s. He went out to China. He was a contemporary with a man called Hudson Taylor. Neither of them had the backing of a mission board who sent them money to live on. When they needed money, they asked God for it. And when that money came, they praised and blessed God. I'm not sure of my facts in the sense of the time and the chronology of the time, but there was a dear man that I met in a camp, a teenage camp in Washington when I first came to the country. I believe the year was 1970. And I was the camp speaker that year. As I was speaking, I noticed this very slim, very handsome-looking elderly man who obviously had a lot of experience in the Lord, and it was the camp missionary. His name was Mr. Jefferson, and we got into various conversations, and one of the most thrilling things I heard him tell to all the children there, he said, "You can have faith in God," and here was the story that he used to prove that you could do so. The Japanese, I think it was, had taken his house over and turned it into a toilet. The soldiers came in and just used it as a toilet, and then they left, and they left him and his wife and other missionaries sometimes to clean up the horrible mess in their house and to just make things clean and ready for tomorrow. After a while, they were in prayer, and they were asking God if it was possible that they could come back here to the United States. But they had no money. They asked that God would provide the need. And one of the missionaries read from, I think it was Zechariah. My wife, if she was here, would tell you exactly the verse, and I can't remember it. But it said, tomorrow you will have an abundance of silver. Words like that. They looked at one another, and they didn't understand why this missionary had said that. And he read it to them again and again, and they went to prayer, and they looked forward to tomorrow. When tomorrow came, a Chinese gentleman came up the middle of the street with a wheelbarrow. Inside the wheelbarrow that was covered with a cloth was a load of silver. And he said, I can trust you missionaries that when I get to the United States, you will give me the money back in United States currency. But here, you need this now in China. They took the silver, they bought their passages, the price of which were very inflated because of the very difficult conditions that they were in, and they bought their passages and they sailed for America and arrived in America. And when the Chinese gentleman came to America, he sought them out, he knew where their base was, he sought them out, and they gave him gladly American currency. That's the story I remember. Now, I may have got some of it distorted, but I have not got the main issue. It is by faith that we walk. They walked down the street with jingling and jangling money in their pockets. They bought their fare. They crossed the Pacific, and they came home. Our God does wonderful things. Our God does amazing things. When we live by faith and we walk by faith. Now, the Lord Jesus dwells in the hearts by faith. And we find this written for us clearly in the little letter to the Ephesians. And there the Apostle Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he says, you know, Jesus is living in our hearts by faith. That is, we believe. He is in our hearts. Look at verse 17 of chapter 3. He's talking about his prayer for them, and he prays that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. The word dwell is an interesting one. If we go back to the Greek, it means to sit down, relax, be at home. Another way of saying that is to put your feet up on a coffee table. I've seen that done in this country a great deal. And make yourself at home. Relax. Jesus is in your heart. Do you believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is in your heart? And if you do, then exercise the faith of believing that he is there. Now, here is another piece of scripture that I want very quickly before I have to close to leave with you, because it is very important to all of us. And the importance can never be just sort of cast to one side. But in the first epistle of John and the 5th chapter, verse 14, we read something that is phenomenal. In verse 14, it says this in the first epistle of John and chapter 5. He says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his name, he heareth us. If we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have our petitions that we desired of him. Do you want to be heard by this living God? Have faith in Jesus. Jesus is God's ambassador. Jesus is God's solution to the problems that you have and all the world has. The solution to the problems of our country are tied up in this very verse. If a people would turn back to me, says God, I will be their father. Oh, what a wonderful thing if only this country would turn back and have faith in this Jesus. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, increase our faith. Cause us to be able to love you and trust you, to trust you with our lives, to trust you with the mundane things of life, as well as the big decisions of life. Will you watch over every person who calls himself a saint of Jesus and keep us in your grace this day for Jesus' sake? Amen. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.